Blog Talk Radio.
To awaken to consciousness, it's time for today's timeless truths. It's time to take transition to transformation. It's time to set your soul free. It's time for a paradigm shift and to be fearless. It's time for peace, love, and empowerment. It's time to create your ideal life. Hey, do you ask yourself, what the hell am I here for? Isn't there more to life than this? Does it seem like things just never go your way? Have you given up hope? Well, today's your day. It is Saturday Solutions with me, Carol Ann Parisi, in Awaken to Empowerment. So thanks for joining me here today. Let's go ahead and talk about how possible success is with the 100 Simple Secrets of Successful People. Simple Secrets Saturday. What do you think of that one? I kind of like it. So commercials on TV tell you all the time that you can change yourself. Okay, you believe you could change yourself? The commercials tell you so. In 30 seconds, the commercial actors can get smarter, thinner, prettier, richer. But this is a fantasy, ladies and gentlemen. Total fantasy, okay? We hear about the possibilities for wonderful change people can make in their own lives, and we want to duplicate those results. When we try and are not quickly rewarded, we actually wind up more frustrated. Okay? So, how does that fit with us today? Well, a lot of times it's like you want to lose weight and you do a little bit of the work and then you're more frustrated than when you started. That's not good, you know? Change is possible, but it does not come immediately. It is a process. It is a process. And by listening to shows like Awaken to Empowerment and getting CD tapes, CD programs, and, you know, keeping your mind on, you know, prosperity principles and good things, you know what, that's where your the rubber meets the road. I'm going to have a swig of coffee here. Coffee's a good thing. All right, so it is a process. It does not come immediately. And you know what? Don't believe. They're always going to tell you, oh, you could change it in 30 days or less. You know what? You got to change your mind. Remember, first of all, no one's going to go ahead and be able to sell a program. It says, it's going to take you years to change. No, it doesn't do that. People want, like, immediate, happy change. But it really does take some time, and it takes work, and it takes your integrative principles. So, you know, it takes years to accomplish some of the most important changes, and it's a growth process. You know, when you entered the first grade, did you really think you were going to learn a second language, algebra, history? It took you time to build upon those things. So, you know what? Don't stop believing. The decision to make change offers wonderful feelings of control and optimism, but those are short-lived. If the change is not accomplished by just going ahead and doing those things, a lot of people get discouraged. So repeated efforts and self-change characterized by an expectation of unrealistically high payoff and unrealistically short time may actually reduce satisfaction of your life by 40%. So don't make, you know what, make your change a process. Get a coach, okay? Get someone like, you know, your ideal life system coach to go ahead and talk you through these things. Remember, change is a process. Like everything else, it's a process. So here is our James Allen thought for the day, October 8th. Thought for the morning. Man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself He also fashions the tools for which he builds himself up. Goes with our team to get that right. So, interesting. He builds heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse and wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. Between these two extremes are all the grades of character, and man is their maker and master, okay? As a being of power, intelligence, and love, and the lord of his own thoughts, man holds the key to every situation. So, see, change is possible, but realize it's going to take some, it takes time to happen. And sometimes you're going to have, get in the flow, and change is going to go really, really well. And then there are setbacks. And sometimes, you know, your setbacks are just set up for better things. So don't stop believing. It's such an awesome song. So, a man is to build up a successful, strong, and exemplary life. A life that will stoutly resist the fiercest storms of adversity and temptation. It must be framed on a few simple, undeviating principles, moral principles, if you will. For these principles are justice, rectitude, sincerity, and kindness. These four ethical truths are to the making of a life what the four lines of a square are to the building of a house. If a man ignores them and thinks to obtain success and happiness by injustice, trickery, selfishness, he is in the position of a builder who imagines he could build a strong, durable habitation while ignoring the relative arrangement of mathematical lines, and he will end up only to obtain disappointment and failure. Yes, you're constantly cutting corners, you're constantly thinking how you can get things done easier and, you know, cheat someone and get someone back. You know what? You're not building any strong foundation. That's a great principle, you know. If you do all things with heart and excellence, you're going to grow in that process, which gets you closer to that change that you see. So these are great timeless truths here. Working in harmony with fundamental laws of the universe. Remember, laws of the universe cannot be broken. They can only be transgressed. Because universal laws are foundational truths. There's a thought for the evening. Whatsoever you harbor in your inmost chambers of your heart will sooner or later, by the inevitable law of reaction, shape itself into your outward life. Every soul attracts its own, and nothing can possibly come to it that does not belong to it. To realize this is to recognize the universality of divine law. Universality. I love that word. It's like really a tongue twister, right? You've got to recognize the universalness of divine law. Universality. That is such a great word. I can't say it so well, but it's a great word. Divine law. If thou would sit right the world and banish all its evils and woes, make its wild places bloom and its drear deserts blossom as the rose, then right thyself. Yep, you are the master of your ship. Anywhere you go, there you are. Be the best you can be. Always be excellent. Be excellent to others. Yes, sometimes, you know, we're human. We're going to maybe say some things we shouldn't say. Look at Donald Trump. He stepped in and he talked about a hot babe. Although nobody would ever be talking about Hillary as being a hot babe that fucked too. Will the Beast with the voice. Oh, my God. Okay, sorry. That's not political, sorry. Anyway, let's see if we can go back into some of our other principles now. We've got some great things. Life is good. There's a lot going on here right now. So, you know, you really just got to go ahead to be the change. Every day, chip away at something. If you want to start getting healthy, every day, eat more healthy food or take a walk or do something that's going to feed into the goodness of what you want to do. My computer's doing the bounce today. Can you tell? Yeah, it's awesome. just awesome when it does that. So, just got to just roll with it is what we got to do. So, let's find your purpose, okay? So when you want to change, you got to find a purpose to change. You got to find your passion. That will help grow you to change, right? When you find your purpose, it's like your heart has been set alight with passion. Your purpose helps to drive your passion, you know? And you know without any doubt that this is what you should be doing. And there's that intrinsic, you know, self-efficacy. And it's wonderful. And, you know, what do you think your purpose is? And move towards it. My purpose right now is to get through this show without my dogs barking too hard. You know, gratitude is the attitude. We've talked about that before. And gratitude, you could develop your faith with gratitude, too. There are incredible amounts of resources today to assist you with your journey of self-exploration and growth, right? We've talked about so many of them, between Wallace Wattles and James Allen and Napoleon Hill, the old school, to Anthony Robbins and Dennis Waitley and, you know, Brian Tracy, some of the newer sages. So go ahead and get involved in some of these things. Do a study once a day. Listen to the Awaken to Empowerment show once a day. That's going to help build your faith and make you get closer to this person you want to be. It helps you with your change, okay? And then, you know, find a coach to help support you on this journey. You know, sometimes when you want to improve yourself and make that change, you need someone to help encourage you and someone who's been there and rocked that, or someone who's going on the journey with you, as long as you don't enable each other for the bad things, empower each other for the good things. It's very, very basic. And, you know, if you go ahead and find someone who wants to share your dreams with you and go ahead and take the journey with them and make it happen, it's really great. You know, persistence is another key. Don't stop believing. Don't give up. A lot of times we get really close, and that's what, you know, our little thing was saying before, where a lot of times people try and they don't see that change in 30 days, 30 days or whatever. You know what? It's a lifetime journey. So success is in the journey. See what you can do, be, have, become in that journey. And always do your best. So stay persistent. Stay positive. And now let's get into our 8 pillars for the ideal life. Remember, this is our James Allen 8 pillars to riches, 8 pillars to prosperity, old school, very deep. We talked about the first 2 pillars of energy and economy. The whole total are energy, economy, integrity, system, sympathy, sincerity, impartiality, and self-reliance. And that helps to build what James Allen calls the temple of prosperity. Now, within the energy principle, what holds that together is promptitude, vigilance, industry, and earnestness. So, you know, just be intrinsically, holistically excellent. In economy, the principles are moderation, efficiency, resourcefulness, and originality. So these are all things you can process through to create and live your ideal life and become the best person you can be. Now we're going to get into integrity, and that's our 3rd pillar. And this is kind of a deep one, because integrity is being the same person when no one's looking. It's not cutting those corners. It's being that loving and kind person when people aren't so loving and kind to you. It's, you know, looking out for others as you look out for yourself. So there's no striking a cheap bargain with prosperity. It must be purchased, not only with intelligent labor, but with moral force. As the bubble cannot endure, so the fraud cannot prosper. Okay? So if you're really not an integrity-driven person, you're never going to prosper. You're just getting it by, you know. He makes a feverish spurt in the acquirement of money and then collapses. Nothing is ever gained, ever can be gained by fraud, but rested for a time to be again returned with heavy interest. But fraud is not confined to the unscrupulous swindler. All who are getting or trying to get money without giving an equal equivalent are practicing fraud, whether they know it or not. So you go ahead and you earn $10 an hour in your company, and if you're not giving it 100%, you're not being your best. You're just kind of showing up and sitting around and, you know, playing on Facebook while you're getting paid. You're committing fraud. You're going in and using the copy machine without asking. You're stealing. So these are some things that really will take us to a higher level. Men, women who are anxiously scheming how to get money without working for it are frauds, and mentally they are closely allied of their capital. Wait a minute. Allied to the thief and swindler under those whose influence they come. Sooner or later, who deprives them of their capital. But is a thief but a man who carries to its logical or ladder or who deprives them of this capital? What is a thief but a man who carries its logical to extreme in his desire to possess something without giving just return? Always wanting something for nothing. Oh, this person, you know what, this person buys me this, so I'm going to hang out with this person. This is not how, being prosperous works. You always want to hand out and always taking. You're never going to be prosperous because you have this mentality of scarcity, not a prosperity mentality, okay? And that's what's so wrong with our government constantly giving, you know, free food stamps or free housing. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little hand up. That's a good thing. But when people live in perpetuity of this influence of, you know, non-prosperous thinking, this is why it's always entitlement thinking, oh, government's going to take care of me, or you know, I deserve it, I'm of this race, I'm a woman, whatever. Stupid. It's called thievery, and that's why our country is going down the tubes. So the man that courts prosperity and must, in all his transactions, whether material or mental, study how to give just return for what he receives. This is the great fundamental principle in all commerce. While in spiritual things it becomes doing to others which we have done to us, and applied forces of the universe, it's scientifically stated in a formula that says action and reaction are equal. Human life is reciprocal, not rapacious, and the man who regards all others as his legitimate prey will soon find himself stranded on the desert of ruin, far away from the path of prosperity. Oh, yes, we all know those people. This real estate agent I'm working with is one of those people. he's far too behind in the process of evolution to cope successfully with an honest man. Mm-hmm. Very integrity is huge, right? Wow. Human life is okay. So he is too far behind in the process of evolution to cope successfully with an honest man. The fittest, the best, always survive, and he being the worst cannot therefore continue. His end, unless the change in time, is sure the goal, and the filthy hovel, or the place of the deserted outcast. His efforts are destructive and not constructive, and thereby destroying himself. So it was Carlyle who referred to Muhammad as being then universally is regarded by Christians as an imposter. An imposter found a religion. An imposter couldn't build a brick house. An imposter, liar, or cheat, a man of dishonesty, cannot build, as he has neither tools or material which to build. He can no more build up a business, a character, a career, a success, than he found a religion or build a brick house. He not only does not build, but all his energies are bent on undermining what others have built. But his being impossible, he undermines himself. Without integrity, wow, that's interesting. Without integrity, energy, and economy will all last fail. But aided by integrity, their strength will greatly be augmented. There's not an occasion in life where moral factor does not play an important part. Sterling integrity, tell wherever it is and stamps its hallmark on all transactions. It does this because of its wonderful coherence and consistency and its invisible strength. For the man of integrity is in line with the fixed laws of things. not only with the fundamental principles on which human society rests, but with the laws which hold the vast universe together. Who shall see these things at naught? Who then shall undermine a man of unblemished integrity? He's like a strong tree whose roots are fed by perennial strings. I didn't know this about Carlyle and Muhammad. I'm going to have to like look that up a little bit. So the man who works carefully and conscientiously when his employer is away, as when his eye is upon him, will no longer remain in inferior position. So yeah, you know what? This is just all the same thing. You know, the shirker, on the other hand, he, you know, does his work sloppily and neglectfully. You know, there will come a time when man who's not deeply rooted in integrity, when he should tell a lie or do a dishonest thing. Yeah, it's just, there's so much into this. So integrity actually makes a man, it's a gift. It's a gift. When you are an integral person, and I mean, this goes really deep. A lying tradesman will tell you that no man can be honest and thrive in these days of competition. You know what? Anybody that's really successful does have a level of integrity. And you could tell, you know, and it's being integral to who they are and integral to others. Right doing between man and the main in the varied relations and transaction of his life is the very soul of integrity. It includes more than, but honesty is the backbone, and it's the backbone of human society and the support of human institutions. So, you know, there's a lot. We do this in our society a lot, too. We have a propensity, especially our politicians, are vehemently dishonest, and they may be little white lies, but, you know, they promote delusion, and they promote ignorance, and, you know, very, no wonder why our society is in such a crazy place. So take yourself and be the person of integrity. You be the man that carries about within you the unconscious grandeur, which inspires awe. And, you know, lift yourself up above the petty and the mean and the false, and don't be a coward. Just be bold and use your highest intellectual gift, this moral grandeur of integrity. And people will say to you, you can see you in a different way, and then doors will open to you that you never even knew. The man of unswerving rectitude intrinsically is always a hero. It only needs the occasion to bring out the heroic element. He has always possessed a permanent happiness. The man of genius may be very unhappy, but not to the man of integrity. Nothing nor sickens nor calamity nor death can deprive him of that permanent satisfaction which he adheres to his uprightness. Rectitude leads straight to prosperity by four successive steps. First of all, the upright man wins the confidence of others. Got a good reputation of being honest and integrity and doing more than you can. Second, having gained their confidence, they put trust in him. Third, this trust never being violated produces a good reputation. And fourth, the reputation spreads further and further to bring about more and more success. Dishonesty has a reverse effect. By destroying the confidence of others, it produces them suspicion and mistrust and being about a bad reputation and will culminate in failure. And you know what? Politicians know this. That's why they want to take people out and lie about them. I mean, So here are the pillars of integrity. And the pillar of integrity is held together by these elements: honesty, fearlessness, purposefulness, and invincibility. Okay? Really, really interesting. We're going to unpack some of these things. Let's start right out. And I'm a little discombobulated today. I was on the phone with 2 hours with a friend of mine who's in Florida and talking about the storms and the storms of her life. The storm didn't hit her. Her life, those storms hit her. Let's talk about honesty. Honesty is the surest way to success. The day at last comes when the dishonest man repents in sorrow and suffering, but not man ever needs to repent of being honest. Even when the honest man fails, as he does sometimes, through lacking of other these pillars, such as energy economy or system, His failures are not the grievous thing. It's the dishonest man. For he could always rejoice in the fact he has never defrauded a fellow being. Even in his darkest hour, he found repose and a clear conscience. Yeah, there's nothing good about, nothing bad about having your conscience be cleared. You can go to sleep. Ignorant men, imagine the dishonesty is a shortcut to prosperity. That's why they practice it. The dishonest man is morally short-sighted, like the drunkard who sees the immediate pleasure of his habit, but not the ultimate degradation. He sees the immediate effect of a dishonest act, a larger profit, but not its ultimate outcome. He does not see that an accumulated number of acts must be inevitably undermine his character and bring his business toppling about his ears in ruin. While pocketing his gains and thinking how cleverly and successful he's imposing on others, he is all the time imposing on himself, and every coin thus gained must be paid back with added interest. From this just retribution, there is no possible loophole of escape. The moral gravitation is sure and unbearing as the physical gravitation of stone to earth. The tradesman who demands his assistance that they shall be and misrepresents his good to customers is surrounding himself on all hands with suspicion, mistrust, and hatred. Here's something I'll share with you. I have never sold anything I really didn't believe in. I have to believe in something that I sell to others. And, you know, people get that. People resonate with that. And it builds that wonderful relationship with customers that, you know what, I'm selling you something that I use, that I love, that I appreciate. There's, you know, especially in sales, you know, I mean, auto sales, well, people get bad reputations because people are shysters. So, interesting. Let's see. The tradesman, the demands of his assistants, they should B, misrepresents his goods to customers. So, you know what? Always be excellent. An honest man may fail, but not because he is honest. His failure will be honorable and not injure his character and reputation. His failure, too, resulting doubtless from his incapacity in the particular direction of his failure, will be a means of leading him into something more suited to his talents and thus his ultimate success. Ah, how's that? So you fail forward, which is a good thing. Fearlessness accompanies honesty. The honest man has a clear eye, an unflinching gaze. He looks his fellow man in the face, and his speech is direct and convincing. The liar and cheat hangs his head. His eyes are muddy. His glaze is oblique. He cannot look another man in the eye, and his speech arouses mistrust, for it's ambiguous and unconvincing. When a man has fulfilled his obligations, he has nothing to fear. All his business relations are safe and secure. His methods and actions will endure the light of day. Should he pass through a difficult time and get into debt, everybody will trust him and be willing to wait for payment, and all his debts will be paid. Dishonest people try to avoid paying their debts, and they live in fear. But the honest man tries to avoid, let's see, getting into debt. But when the debt overtakes him, he does not fear. Redoubling his exertions, his debts are paid. The dishonest are always in fear. They do not fear debt. They do not fear debt, but they fear that they will have to pay their debts. They fear their fellow men. They fear the established authorities. They fear the results and what they are doing. And they are in constant fear of misdeeds and being revealed and the consequences, which may be at any moment overtake them. So we're going to talk more about integrity tomorrow. Remember our four pillars of integrity. There's the four principles. They're honesty, fearlessness, purposefulness, ability. So this is Carol Parisi, going to be signing off with Boston. A little discombobulated today. I hope you have a great day. I hope this show has served you in some way. And be excellent. Be empowered. Create your ideal life. It's all up to you. Be the change, okay? Your ideal life is awaiting you. This is Carol Ann Parisi for Super Saturday. See you tomorrow on Super Soul Sunday. Love ya. Make it a great one and enjoy Boston on the way out. Here we go.